Welcome to the Sleeper Wire Show. I'm your host, Jason, and with me, as always, is Max. You can catch Max on Twitter, MaxSW23. You can catch him on the Sleeper app at SWMax. You can catch me on Twitter at FLDrMilbarge. And you can find me on the Sleeper app at BFTGDrMil. Max, it is championship week. We're staring at a Saints game with the Colts. It is tough to do these shows when these games are on. But we do them for you guys. So, Max, how are you this week?
I'm pretty good. I'm 45 points ahead in a league to get into the championship. I have Jack Doyle. He has Alvin Kamara. I think I got it.
I think you got it. So, in one of my leagues, I am 6 points down, and he has Michael Thomas. I have Pascal and Jack Doyle. I think I'm done. You know, you have a puncher's chance, but really kind of like 70-30. And I think I'm toast there. My other league, it's one of those stupid leagues where you play in a week 17. So I've got two games against the same opponent. This week is the second game against my current opponent. I'm up by 120. So I'm winning that championship, damn it. But got to play in a week 17 to get it
done.
There
you go.
You got any leagues where you got to play in a week 17?
I actually don't this year, thank God, and I hate those leagues. But I do have a few friends who are in the double week playoff leagues. I can't stand them, but I wish my current league was going to be one, because the guy I'm going to be playing in the championship has Lamar Jackson, and I'm genuinely scared of just him.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple league winners out there. You know, if you had Jameis Winston, you've been happy over the last couple weeks. He's probably gotten you to the championship. You know, obviously Lamar Jackson with 5 touchdowns, he's probably got you to the championship, or at least made it really hard for your opponent to get past you. So we are going to talk about news. We're going to get into the games this week and see if there's anybody, not necessarily waiver wire pickups, because it's, let's face it, it's the championship. You're likely going to bring the team to the ball that you have. There's not too many people to pick up, but what we are going to talk about is those borderline starts, the guys probably at the end of your bench. See if you can trust them for your championship game. Maybe you had an injury. Maybe you one of your borderline players has a tough matchup. So we're going to talk about some of these guys at the end of your bench and see if you can start them this week based on trends and matchups. So with that, we're going to get into the news, and the first thing I want to mention is Josh Gordon has been suspended indefinitely without pay for violating the NFL policies on performance-enhancing substances and substances of abuse. I had to double-check to make sure this news wasn't from 2018, 2017, 2016, 2015, 2014, or 2013, and it wasn't. It was new today. Can you think of a bigger waste of talent in the NFL than Josh Gordon?
Yeah, is it Charlie or Justin Blackmon?
Yeah, Justin Blackmon was the first one. When I typed that question, Justin Blackmon was the huge waste of talent. Didn't get to play because he bombed out right out of college. But I think Gordon's a little bit bigger here because he had the talent to be a star in the league, and you actually saw it before he threw his career away. The other name that I came up with was Ricky Williams.
Well, see, I watched a documentary on Ricky Williams, and Ricky Williams really kind of did it out of principle. I don't think Josh Gordon wants to do this. I think he has a problem. And it's sad because he goes through all these programs. He was happy to be on Seattle. He wanted to be there. He wanted to do this. And it's just one of those things where he's a guy that I really feel bad for, because I know that he wants to be in the NFL, and the NFL wants him.
People say pot's not detrimental, but man, it was detrimental to Josh Gordon's career, and I don't know that they've come out and said that it was pot that he had problems with here, have they? I just think, the news just broke not too long ago.
Yeah, but this time I don't believe it was weed, and the time before that was not weed, it was actually alcohol. He wasn't aware that alcohol was a banned substance when he was first suspended. And he drank alcohol, tested positive for alcohol, or I don't know if he tested positive or is seen in like a club drinking alcohol, but one of the times that was the case. This was PEDs. Seattle has a history of using Adderall. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I got to laugh because when you said alcohol, I read a little bit earlier when I was looking at the story that he admitted to being drunk before some of his Browns games. And the only thing I thought was, of course he was, he played for the Browns.
Oh, 100%. Look at every single player on that team besides Baker Mayfield is begging to get off that team right now.
Yeah, and the only reason Baker's not begging to get off the team is he's got those commercials where he's taking care of his stadium.
But, I mean, who do you blame, Kitchens or Baker?
I got to blame. So I blame Kitchens and then the team's expectations because they went through a lot of changes in the offseason, and typically that doesn't make for a championship team the next year. Like from what I can tell, every time, you know, we had Philadelphia with the Dream Team, the Dolphins years ago with Dante Culpepper, everybody was talking about them for the Super Bowl. When you make a ton of changes, including to a first-time coach, and then you add a bunch of star talent, it takes at least a year to gel. So, I mean, personally, it was our expectations that were wrong. I mean, they're still the Browns. Like, the Browns are going to do Browns things. So, expecting Freddie Kitchens as a first-year head coach to take on a guy like Baker Mayfield with his ego and a guy like Landry and a guy like OBJ, like, I think we were just expecting too much all around from them.
You're probably right.
All right, so we're going to move on. The Bucs are not expected to have Chris Godwin next week thanks to a hamstring injury. That team has been decimated. I think they're out there looking for spare hamstrings. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller, and their secondary player, Whitehead, all went down in the last 2 weeks with hamstring injuries. So with that said, is Perriman the number one waiver wire ad? We're not going to talk too much about waiver wires here, but is he the number one waiver wire ad?
Not for me.
Let me rephrase then. Is he the number one wide receiver waiver wire ad this week?
I'm actually going to have to say no again. We haven't seen him perform as a number one wide receiver. This is going to sound very strange. Ward from the Eagles would be my number one waiver wire ad.
And we'll talk about him in a little bit. I think Jameis Winston may be in trouble next week. He's gotten you to the championship, but right now he's going to be throwing to Breshad Perriman. He's going to be throwing to Justin Watson, who hasn't shown anything. And then he's got two tight ends, and maybe they bring back Bobo Wilson, and everybody who doesn't know the Bucs is saying, who? And that's my point. Jameis might have a little trouble. Perriman is the speedster. He is the number one guy there. And if Bruce Arians has proved anything, they are going to chuck the ball. To me, Perriman's my number one wide receiver waiver ad. Vikings coach Mike Zimmer tells reporters that Dalvin Cook's shoulder injury is one that Cook could play through, and it feels good today. Now, they're playing against the Packers. If he can play, I think he does, right? Like, but if Cook is out, let's say he's out, is Madison and Boone must owns? I think you probably have a spot in your championship roster that you can get rid of two different players. Like, you can get rid of your second defense, you're not going to play him. It's a championship week. Do you have a second quarterback you're not going to play? If you're not trying to keep him away from your opponent, you can get rid of him too. So I think you got to try and get Madison and Boone.
I agree. I also have Boone as my number one waiver priority this week over Mattson, because Mattson actually still is holding an injury designation. He did not participate in practice today, so it's something to keep an eye on. Waivers don't clear to Wednesday in most leagues, so plan accordingly. Look at it. With Mattson not showing up, Boone is the next guy. He looked good, didn't have much work, but, you know, he did score. This is a must-win game for Minnesota, so I think if Cook can play, he will play.
Dak Prescott has a broken index finger. With that broken finger, he was 15 for 23, 212 yards and two touchdowns. There were moments where he looked good, moments where he looked inaccurate. The TV announcers tried to say that was due to the broken finger, and that's possible, but I remember last year Dak throwing a lot of balls in the dirt and overthrowing players. Is this Dak reverting to last year, or is this the broken finger, or a combination of both? Now, they have a juicy matchup with Philly. That secondary is awful. Do you trust Dak with that broken index finger?
No, I don't. I think this is going to be a nice Randall Cobb, Jason Witten game. I think they're going to pound Philly into the ground. And Philly is going to be going to need to be the team to show up. That's why, for me, like in this matchup, I have Amari Cooper, who's been super underperforming. I am not comfortable starting Cooper against Philly right now. I'm just not. Even with their terrible secondary, I don't see the deep ball happening. Dak went to his checkdowns often and early, and I just don't think he can get it done with his hurt hand.
I tend to agree. I think you most likely have better options out there at quarterback, especially with guys like Tannehill coming on late, Jameis Winston playing well, Josh Allen's even playing well, even against a tough couple of matches here. So you likely have a better option than Dak down the stretch. Now we're going to move into our game recaps. We're not going to do the typical game recaps where I tell you, for example, that Lamar Jackson had 5 touchdowns and 86 yards. If you have Lamar Jackson, you're obviously playing him in your championship game. What I'm going to do is bring up the Baltimore Ravens won 42-21 against the Jets. And I'm going to mention that Jamison Crowder had 6 receptions, 90 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And tell you that next week he's playing against the Steelers defense that ever since they picked up Minkah Fitzpatrick has looked better. And what I am going to ask Max here is, do you trust Jamison Crowder to play against those Steelers? Or do you think Sam Darnold's in for a bad day? Jamison Crowder is going to have a tough time of it.
All right, so Minkah doesn't actually scare me. The one who scares me is Watt. So Darnold's going to be rushed a lot. So I trust Crowder. I don't trust Robbie Anderson. Anderson's probably going to be shadowed by Minkah the whole game, or at least until Crowder establishes himself as the number one during that game. And with Darnold going to have pressure in his face the whole time, Crowder's the slot guy. He's going to get those looks.
Crowder's been getting targeted over and over and over again the last, you know, anytime he's been on the field this year. He is the PPR monster on that team. He's the one guy I can trust that's at the end of your bench. So if you have Crowder, you can feel comfortable putting him in. With that said, we're going to jump into the New England-Cincinnati game. New England 34, Cincinnati 13. New England didn't have to cheat to win this one, but they did anyway. You know, Joe Mixon had a game. You're going to play him. James White, you're going to play him. Edelman had a bad game, but I think it was a fluke, and you're probably going to start him in your championship. The guy I want to talk about had a bad game this game, going up against Stephon Gilmore. Tyler Boyd had 3 receptions, 26 yards. He had 7 targets. Next week, he plays Miami. Max, I assume you're going to play Tyler Boyd against Miami.
Against Miami, yeah. But I mean, see, this is the only... What sucks about shows like this, Super Championship shows, Tyler Boyd's not someone I'd want in my lineup. But
listen, I agree, but I think the argument here is you're going to have like Tyler Boyd on the end of your bench. He's got a good matchup.
Well, you'd have to think, like, who would you start him over? For me, Tyler Boyd or Amari Cooper. With Dak's hurt hand, I actually might lean Tyler Boyd in the situation because the targets will be there. Miami's defense looks terrible, and Andy Dalton is playing for a contract.
And let's face it, there's a lot of teams that are in the championship right now that covered holes with a guy like Lamar Jackson. You know what I mean? You're starting Tyler Boyd, but you have Lamar Jackson, so his 40 points brought you to the championship. I have a league where Jameis Winston got me 58 points this week. Covered a lot of holes on that team. I have Tyler Boyd. So I'm probably going to start him, even though he's not the guy I want to go into the championship with. He's got a great matchup. So that's what we're talking about here. Tyler Boyd is a guy against Miami. I think he'll get it done. He like I said, he only had 3 receptions for 26 yards, but he did have 7 targets. The targets are there. I think against Miami, he can do it. So early in the week, there were reports that AJ Green had looked good in practice. The team, they hadn't ruled him out. But today he visited a foot specialist. It's opening up reports that he won't.
It's also opening up reports that this could be a second checkup for clearance. I literally just read that on Yahoo.
If AJ Green is on the field against Miami,
start Tyler Boyd.
And he's looking for a contract next year. Do you start AJ Green?
In a championship week, that's not the week I want to take a risk. Even though I love his talent and I've been an AJ Green truther, I've rostered him this entire season. And it's been rough. But when you're at the wire like this, I'd pick Boyd over Green. Just because Andy Dalton sucks. Green's been out so long. I don't know if he's going to go as hard as you would expect him to go. Because he wants to get signed by someone next year. And if he hurts himself again, no one's going to touch him.
Yeah, exactly. Too much risk for not enough reward. So moving on to the next game, we're going to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs 23, Denver Broncos 3. Obviously, Kelce was a star. Tyreek was a star. Courtland Sutton put another nice game together. He did only have 4 receptions on 10 total targets. Drew Lock looked like a rookie in this game. The guy I want to talk about in this game, the guy on the end of your bench, is Philip Lindsay. 7 rushes for 32 yards, 2 targets, 0 catches. Philip Lindsay is a guy I want to play next week against the Lions, but is he somebody that you can trust given the fact that Freeman has gotten at least half the workload in every single one of these games?
Yeah, Philip Lindsay is definitely someone you can trust. It was a snowball. It snowed, I think they said, 6 inches during the game. So I don't really hold anyone that against anyone that game.
Well, I also want to say they were behind right away and went to passing. Even on the goal line, when you could give the Philip Lindsay the ball, they just chucked it up. So I understand why they didn't give Philip Lindsay a ton of touches. It is a little bit scary, though, when he only has 2 targets and 0 catches. But against the Lions, I think he's a good play. So he is a guy on the end of your bench that you can start. Seattle Seahawks 30, Carolina Panthers 24. Chris Carson had 133 yards. That's a stud, and you're going to start him. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey. Tyler Lockett had a bounce-back game. The one guy I want to talk about here is Curtis Samuel. He had 8 targets, 5 receptions. He had 31 yards on the ground, and he had a touchdown. They're handing him the ball. They're trying to get him involved, but they're starting Will Greer this week. So can you trust a guy like Curtis Samuel? Like, I'm even a little scared for DJ Moore. Who's looked great.
I don't trust unknown quarterbacks. And, like, unfortunately, I just don't. Like, the rapport isn't going to be there. Kyle Allen, I think, is on a bad team. I don't think he's a terrible quarterback. I don't think they should be giving up on him. But I don't trust any Carolina receiver this week.
So I think the deal is they're obviously looking to move on from Cam Newton. They've seen what they have in Kyle Allen. They drafted Will Greer, and there was talk about him early in camp on how good he looked. I think they want to put him in and see the last 2 games on a lost season what they have in him. But for DJ Moore gets a drop down, you know, he goes from a back end wide receiver 1 to me a low end wide receiver 2. Curtis Samuel completely off my board for the championship game. You got to have somebody better than him on the bench. The only guy I see that this doesn't hurt is Christian McCaffrey, because he's a stud and going to do what he's going to do what Christian McCaffrey does and get you almost 100 yards rushing and almost 100 yards receiving. That whole team takes a dip offensively. So Will Greer for your championship playoff run. They have the Colts next week. Seahawks have the Cardinals. I mean, fire up all your Seahawks with the Gordon news. Who is your number one start next week in Seattle?
I'm actually starting Lockett and DK Metcalf next week. So, I mean, I'm all systems going, all of them. Kyler's.
And if you can get him, Hollister, right?
Hollister's, honestly, he got a little banged up. So I don't know how much they want to abuse him, because Seattle really needs a tight end. Like, they don't have any more. But as far as this game goes, Arizona knows how to put up points. Their defense is terrible. So I think Russell Wilson's going to pick them apart. Like I said, I'm starting on the same team, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, and I'm not worried about it at all.
So next game was Houston 24, Tennessee Titans 21. You know, you had Carlos Hyde, 104 yards, touchdown. He doesn't get any work in the passing game, and he's going against Tampa Bay Bucks. I don't know that you can play him. Kenny Stills, 3 receptions, 35 yards, 2 touchdowns, going against a terrible Tampa team. Do you start Will Fuller? Do you start Kenny Stills? I think you can start Kenny Stills. I'm still not on Will Fuller. That hamstring injury scares me. He could go out there for one play and hurt himself.
I'm not on either of them, because Kenny Stills, he only had 4 receptions for, like, I think 31 yards. I'm not looking at it right now.
3 receptions, 35 yards.
Yeah, so that production isn't good.
Right, but
he got 2 touchdowns, which is nice, but those usually go to Aikin, who didn't get any.
Yeah, so the thing is Tennessee's got a pretty decent pass defense. I can understand why they had a little bit of trouble in the passing game, but against the Bucs secondary, you got to hope Watson can do better than that, right?
Yeah, fingers crossed. Watson, I mean, Kenny Stills right now is the number three. If Fuller goes down, he will be hands down a great start at number two. I would rather Jamison Crowder, like if someone else. You know what I mean? Like they're Tyler Boyd, I'd rather. So I just don't trust him right now.
I do like the matchup against the Buccaneers, but you know, you'd have to be pretty desperate to play Kenny Stills right now. The other guy I want to mention is A.J. Brown. He is not an end-of-the-bench guy right now because he, over the last 4 weeks, he's had 20 receptions, 447 yards, which is the first in the NFL, four touchdowns, tied for first in the NFL, and the most PPR points amongst all wide receivers. He had eight receptions for 114 and one touchdown in this game. They do play the Saints next week. That Saints defense is good, but I think A.J. Brown can be great. What do you think?
All right. Tannehill's a great quarterback, finally.
Don't throw great out there. Tannehill's playing very good football. He's not
all right. The last five games he played great. Last game wasn't the best, but whatever. He's been playing great. AJ Brown will get the targets. This is going to be an Allen Robinson situation where it's will they lose? 100%. I think the Titans are going to lose. The Saints just signed Janoris Jenkins. They have Jenkins and Lattimore. That's going to shut down the secondary. I think this is going to be a nice Derrick Henry game, but they will be down and the ball will be thrown a lot. So I expect production, just not like the 20 plus points we've been lucky enough to get out of AJ. I'm seeing him as like a low end wide receiver too, like low end, maybe a high end three.
And I can buy that, but I think a lot of championship teams, they don't have anything better than that on their roster. And I think he's a good start. The other player you wanted to talk about here was Jonnu Smith. Five receptions for 60 yards. You can't ask for much more out of a tight end, out of a streaming tight end situation. You know, that's 11 points in PPR. They do play the Saints, which is the eighth best against tight end. But tell me why you think he's a good start against the Saints.
I think he's a good start against the Saints because the Saints have wide receiver depth. Their wide receivers have stepped up. They really have. So they can't focus that much on the tight end. They can't like, oh, we'll double cover him. All right, we got linebacker on Jonnu. It's like, no, you might have to double cover Chris Davis and double cover A.J. Brown because right now they're both playing at a higher clip than your average receiver. Jonnu Smith will be open. He's filling in the Delanie Walker spot really well. And it's clear that the dude's fast. The Titans like using him and Tannehill trusts him.
Yeah, I like him. I hope you have a better tight end matchup in your championship.
Well, I mean, if it was him, like, so say you were doing flyers and tight ends this whole time. Like, I know, like, I usually do flyers for the most part. If it was between him or Hollister, knowing that Hollister did get a little hurt last game, knowing that the Seahawks need him for the playoffs, I'd go Jonnu over Hollister because I don't think Hollister's going to have that much play time.
Yeah, I can buy that. You know, I think when you get past the top four or five tight ends, it's all a crapshoot anyway. So you're probably right. Jonnu Smith at least has been consistent with his receptions and his targets. So he brings consistency to your lineup. So the next game I want to talk about is New York 36, Miami 20. There is an explosion of offense at the end of this game in garbage time. Patrick Laird has a very Kalen Ballage style game. Not a guy you can trust going into your championship. Devontae Parker, we told you weeks ago, is a potential league winner. He had four receptions, 72 yards, and two touchdowns. Saquon Barkley finally did his thing. The Giants play the Redskins next week. Can you trust Sterling Shepard or any of the other wide receivers from the Giants? Sterling Shepard had the biggest game of nine receptions, 111 yards. Slayton and Tate were both saved by touchdowns. Is Shepard the guy you want to start next week against the Redskins?
So I said this to you, I think 3 weeks ago, that Shepard's their best wide receiver. And I'm going to stick with that. I think Shepard is their best wide receiver. And he's the only guy I trust. I don't trust Golden Tate at all. Slayton is a boom or bust option. If you think you're going to lose, if you're like, I need a desperation play, Slayton might be your guy. But if you think, you know what? Even matchup, I think I got this with the right calls. I would trust Shepard over Slayton.
So let me ask you, the Dolphins against the Bengals, it's Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick's a play every week. That dude's a baller.
I love that guy. I do miss him on the Bucks. Winston's played really well, but I miss how happy Fitzpatrick just looks losing games.
Well, it's not even that he's losing games because Fitzpatrick truly loves football. You can tell that's a guy who just loves the game of football. And the cool thing with Fitzpatrick, even though the Bengals defense stepped up against the Pats, but the Pats honestly play like crap. Fitzpatrick will run. Like, you might get that rushing touchdown out of Fitzpatrick. If I was in ultimate desperation mode, it's a 14-team league. I have Phillip Rivers, and you didn't start him and get a W. Who's a really tough matchup this week? Yeah, if I have Goff or Baker Mayfield, and I'm like, I'm screwed. I need a quarterback so bad this week. I'd start Fitzpatrick, and I would be perfectly fine with it.
I'm going to put you on the spot. All right, Fitzpatrick, and this is going to sound crazy, but remember, all the targets are gone. Fitzpatrick or Jameis Winston? See, I think I still go with Winston because I know they're going to chuck the ball around, but Fitzpatrick's got a great matchup.
But that's the thing. Fitz only has one real weapon, but he makes weapons. Fitz runs more than Jameis Winston, who can run.
Yeah, they've been telling him not to run, especially after he broke his thumb. They don't want him to hurt his hand even more, not be able to throw.
Yeah, but I mean, I think if I'm looking for, I need 2 touchdowns and 200 yards, Fitzmagic. That's the guy I'm going to look to, because Miami doesn't have a run game. They just don't. So they're going to need to pass.
Well, speaking of Jameis Winston, Tampa Bay Buccaneers 38, Detroit Lions 17. Jameis Winston is the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for more than 450 yards in 2 consecutive games. Breshad Perriman was the beneficiary of all those injuries, 5 receptions, 113 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Danny Amendola had a good game for the Detroit Lions, 8 receptions, 102 yards. So, Breshad Perriman, he's the number one this week. Do you trust him to be in your championship? Okay, let's do this. Breshad Perriman or Tyler Boyd?
I trust Tyler Boyd. As I say, Tyler Boyd's kind of shown that he can handle a number one receiving role. Perriman, he did nothing before, and he stepped up for one game. I don't trust him as a number one receiver. Not a lot of people can step into that role and excel.
He's had a good 3-game stretch with the Bucs. Granted, you know, he had Chris Godwin on the opposite side for most of 2 of those 3 games. So, I think I'm going to rank Tyler Boyd a little bit ahead of Breshad Perriman, but it's a lot closer than I thought it would be at the start of the season. Danny Amendola, on the other hand, don't fall into this trap. He had 8 receptions for 102 yards, but it's the first time he's been over 50 yards since week 8. He plays good against bad defenses. The last time he played well was against the Giants.
But can I throw this out as a caveat?
Yep.
Don't trust any Detroit Lions receivers this week. Denver is a stout defense. They will shut down receivers.
Like, I wouldn't start him over Perriman. I wouldn't start him over Boyd.
Let's just say this. We wouldn't start any.
That's exactly right.
Detroit Lions players.
That's exactly right. So moving on to Philadelphia, talking about a team that doesn't have any wide receivers left. Philadelphia 37, Washington Redskins 27. This game was a lot closer than you expected it. A ton of lead changes if you got to watch this game. So it was 2 teams that might not be the best, but it was a fun game to watch. Miles Sanders finally did what you wanted to see him do. Terry McLaurin, 5 receptions, 130 yards, 1 touchdown. They have the Giants next week. I think you can safely fire up your Terry McLaurin. Finally, Haskins and McLaurin are getting some of that chemistry going. The guy I want to talk about in this game is Steve Sims. 5 receptions, 9 targets, 45 yards, and a touchdown. It's his second week in a row with 9 targets, but you were telling me before the show, what do you think about Steve Sims?
All right, so his route running is terrible, and his running after the catch is also terrible. I think twice in the game yesterday, he ran for like less yards. He would catch the ball and then turn backwards to try to go around people, and he would just get caught. I don't know if he still thinks he's in college or if he needs just more game awareness, but I wouldn't trust him at all.
He is for sure not a guy that you want to start. I know he's getting targeted. There's nobody else there to throw it to, but sometimes you just don't take a chance, and I think that's one of the cases here.
Yeah, I completely agree.
The one guy I know you did want to talk about was Greg Ward, 7 receptions, 61 yards, and a touchdown. Why don't you tell me why you think he's an ad, Max?
I actually have two. He's an ad. Because 7 receptions, 61 yards, and a touchdown. This man wasn't a wide receiver before the Eagles needed him to be a wide receiver. He's stepped up. He's taken that number one spot. Realistically, it's Zach Ertz. But Ward has really stepped up. Carson Wentz already trusts him, and he's getting work done. As far as a waiver wire ad goes, the Eagles are a team that needs to win. The Cowboys will not respect Ward. This is a division game. I expect it to be a bloodbath, and I love Ward in this situation. Now, Jordan Howard supposedly is cleared. I don't know yet. I have to keep watching that. If Jordan Howard doesn't play, fire up Boston Scott. He's from the Saints. He's the new Darren Sproles for the Eagles. 7 receptions, I want to say 39 yards. Yep. 7 receptions, 39 yards, 6 carries for 26. For a PPR day, for a wicked late in the season flex ad, that's a quick what? 14, 13 points out of nothing. And if he finds the end zone, that's great. So Ward and Boston Scott are two guys I really like going into the championship weeks against a must-win game.
All right, so now we can move on to the Green Bay Packers 21, Chicago Bears 13. You know, the ugly game from both teams. Chicago Bears had 2 chances at the end to win. They actually could have done it both times. Aaron Jones, 51 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. That has basically made Jamal Williams... They've basically made Jamal Williams disappear in this offense. He only had 8 rushes for 26 yards and only 1 reception for 7 yards. We can just go ahead. He can be one of the guys you cut for Boone or Madison, right? He's done this season. So the one guy who's been on fire lately, Anthony Miller, 9 receptions, 118 yards, 1 touchdown this game. This is how Anthony Miller ranks amongst wide receivers. He's 2nd in receptions with 33, 3rd in targets with 48, 6th in yards with 431, and he's total a 9th. Since week 11, he's 9th in fantasy points. Anthony Miller's getting it done. He's a must start for me next week against the Chiefs. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, him and Allen Robinson.
Yeah, who would have thought at the beginning of the season when Trubisky looked as bad as he did that the Bears would have a couple of guys that seem to be must starts for your fantasy championship?
I mean, I was definitely wrong, but I did say Allen Robinson would finish as a top 10 wide receiver. Now, is he top 20? 100%. That dude gets targets because Mitch Trubisky throws the ball way too much.
Yeah, they don't use their running game the way you'd think they would in Chicago. Chicago did come out and say that even though they have nothing to play for, they are going to play their starters the next 2 weeks. So that's always good for your championship. You know, you don't have a team packing it in. So I think you fire up Miller, you fire up Allen Robinson, and against the Chiefs, you could potentially fire up Trubisky. Maybe.
No.
Good. I wanted you to say no there so badly. The next game is Arizona 38, Cleveland Browns 24. This officially eliminates the Browns from the playoffs. Kenyon Drake had a day, 137 yards, 1 reception, 9 receiving yards, and 4 touchdowns. Nick Chubb did Nick Chubb things. Kareem Hunt seemed to have a down game. Odell Beckham had a down game. I'm just going to flat out say it. Next week against the Ravens, bench Odell Beckham Jr.
See, Odell had a down game, but of the receivers, he was the most productive.
Odell being the most productive wide receiver this week is like being the skinniest kid at fat camp.
Hey, I take offense to that.
Hey, I'm a fat guy. Like, I'm never going to be that skinniest guy either, but I'm just saying, like, being the best in a bad bunch is not good for your fantasy championship. Let's talk about Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb a little bit. The Browns were down here and they kept giving the ball to Nick Chubb, and listen, it paid off with 127 yards and a touchdown, but you'd think it would be more of a Kareem Hunt game. He only got 4 carries for 14 yards. He did save his day with 8 receptions for 60 yards. Were you surprised that Chubb was on the field as much as he was and Kareem Hunt was not on the field all that time, considering they were behind?
No, because I think Chubb's the only thing that works. I love Kareem Hunt, and I'm a huge Kareem Hunt fan, but Baker Mayfield can't be trusted. The wide receivers are openly saying they don't even want to be here anymore, and the coaching staff, I just don't think, knows what to do. So they're like, you know what? Chubb gets positive yards. Give Chubb the ball. And that's just what they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, it works. It doesn't work to win football games, but it works to get Chubb stats. So for all my teams with Nick Chubb, thank you. Jacksonville Jaguars 20, Oakland Raiders 16. The whole Jacksonville offense looked bad most of this game. They somehow found a way to win behind 201 yards passing and 2 touchdowns from Gardner Minshew. It was ugly, but he won, right? Darren Waller did 8 receptions, 122 yards, looked good. Josh Jacobs, 89 yards, 2 receptions for 20 yards. I think they're going to shut Josh Jacobs down. John Gruden said after the game that Josh Jacobs had trouble just getting his pads off. If they don't want to ruin that young running back's career, hopefully they'll be a little smarter. The guy I wanted to mention, the only wide receiver for Jacksonville that played well at all was Chris Conley. 8 targets, 4 receptions, 49 yards, and 2 touchdowns. against the Falcons, are you willing to start Chris Connolly?
Yes, but there is a rumor that Chark will play this week. So just watch the news. I do like Conley, though. I've liked him since his KC days, and he's the smartest receiver they have on the field right now. So he's getting open for Minshew.
And I think against the Falcons, you could probably start Chark and Connolly. I mean, not together, but if Chark plays, you could still start Connolly. So I do like Connolly against the Falcons. And again, like you said, he is so when Minshew scrambles, Connolly is the guy who's coming back to the ball, going across the field with Minshew, just getting himself open as that outlet to pass to. So I do like Connolly going forward. Minnesota 39, Los Angeles Chargers 10. Man, where to start on this game? Mike Boone, 56 yards, 2 touchdowns. We talked about him being a pickup this week. Melvin Gordon benched after 2 pretty bad fumbles. Austin Eckler, 19 rushing yards, 5 receptions, 62 receiving yards. The receiving yards saved your week. Mike Williams is the guy I want to talk about. Only 4 receptions, but 71 yards and a touchdown. You know, every week it seems like he gets a nice long touchdown pass. And if Phillip Rivers would just throw him the ball more and let him go up and get it, he might have less interceptions. Is Mike Williams a guy you can trust against the Raiders next week? That pass defense for the Raiders is awful.
Yeah, I'm actually all systems go on Mike Williams. I have a quick question for you. So I was actually just reading, literally right now, because this is how we roll. Josh Jacobs, like you said, was having trouble getting his pads off. Is Washington a start for you against the Chargers?
So I think if you need running back depth, if you're in a league where you have to start 2 running backs and you had some guys go down, if you have Jacobs, I think you could start Washington. The Chargers are the 17th ranked run defense, so they're kind of middle of the pack. We talked about before you asked that question, we talked a little bit about Washington having a good game against Tennessee, who's 13th ranked. So I think he could be a good spot start. I would hope you'd have other guys. You know, maybe you're able to pick up Boone, but it wouldn't scare me to start him this week. I'll say that.
All right. Yeah, my current situation, I have Dalvin Cook. I have a flyer out for Boone, and I have a flyer out for Washington. If I don't get Boone, but I get Washington, I think I'll be okay.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. The weirdest game of the week, Max, the weirdest game of the week, Atlanta Falcons 29, San Francisco 49ers 22. Julio Jones is the damn man. George Kittle's the man. Is there anybody there?
There was nothing. I expected Gage to step up. He was barely targeted. And what he did get targeted, you know, he had a little production. But this was the Julio Jones Kittle show.
Yeah, Debo Samuel didn't give you anything. Emmanuel Sanders didn't give you anything. It was literally Julio Jones, George Kittle, and nobody else. Going into next week, do you trust Debo Samuels? Do you trust Emmanuel Sanders against the Rams?
I think this was a fluke for the 49ers. Debo has gotten you this far. Sanders has gotten you this far. If it was a down game, you still managed to squeak by. How can you not trust them?
Well, and I agree. We've talked about a couple weeks ago, after Atlanta came out of their bye, they'd moved some of their coaches around. Raheem Morris, who was a defensive coach in Tampa, was a defensive coach in Washington. They moved him to a wide receiver coach at the beginning of this year. And after they came out of the bye, they moved him back to defensive backs coach. Coming out of their bye week, they've had a couple of really successful weeks on defense, playing a little bit better than playing a lot better than they did at the beginning of the year. And I think Raheem Morris is the catalyst for that. So I think this might just be an aberration. I think if you've got Garoppolo and Debo Samuels and Sanders, you can't panic. You got to play your guys. Just knowing that, you know, they low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3 kind of guys, right? All right, so Dallas 44, Los Angeles Rams 21. The good Dallas finally showed up. The bad Los Angeles Rams showed up again. Tyler Higbee, 12 receptions, 111 yards. He had another great game. He's tight end 10 after only starting 3 games. That tells you what the tight end landscape looks like out there. Cooper Kupp, 6 receptions, 41 yards and a touchdown. Tony Pollard, 12 rushes, 113 yards for a touchdown. Those guys are all unavailable. So let's talk about Gallup. He's definitely on the end of your bench. So in week 15, Michael Gallup had 3 targets, 1 reception, 6 yards. We're worried about Dak's finger. You know, he's had since week 10, he had 10 targets, 13 targets, 6 targets, 7 targets, 10 targets, and then now 3 targets. Are you worried about Michael Gallup? Is he somebody you're willing to start coming off this bad game?
No, he's not. there are just people I'd rather start that are probably on the wire. I'm not starting Amari Cooper.
So you're not starting Cooper, you're not starting Gallup, you're not starting any of your Dallas Cowboys against the Eagles.
Zeke? But even then, they don't use him right, but Zeke is the only one. And maybe, actually, Zeke, Randall Cobb, and Witten. Randall Cobb's desperation play, Witten, if you need a tight end.
So let's talk about the Rams a little bit. Robert Woods had a couple of really good games with a lot of targets. Yeah, this game, not so much. So are you trusting Robert Woods going forward? He still saw 9 targets, but he only brought 4 of those in for 17 yards. This was bad golf versus good golf from the last couple weeks.
Robert Woods next. This really depends, because he's going to be shadowed by Sherman. It's going to be a tough game for Robert Woods, but he's fast enough to burn Sherman. It sucks, because this is such, like, the talent's there. I want to say, oh yeah, sure, trust Woods, no issues. But what Goff is going to show up?
Yeah, and it's likely the Goff that threw 4 targets for 0 receptions, 0 yards for Woods back in week 6. It honestly depends on what you have on your team, but I find it really hard to trust Robert Woods next week against the 49ers. So hopefully you have some of these other guys, because I love Robert Woods. He was my favorite. He was my favorite Rams wide receiver going into this offseason. And he's largely been disappointing, but had looked really good late. I don't know about that 49ers matchup. I think you probably have to bench him. So we'll talk about let's talk about Sunday night's game. Buffalo Bills 17, Pittsburgh Steelers 10. John Brown had 7 receptions for 99 yards. Singletary looked pretty good. 21 carries with 87 yards. Did have a fumble. James Washington, Deontay Johnson each had 5 receptions. James Conner looked okay in his return, 42 yards with 4 receptions, 9 receiving yards, and 1 touchdown. He got you the touchdown to make his day better. So the Bills are playing the Patriots. John Brown is likely going to see Stephon Gilmore. Do you trust Smokey Brown in this matchup?
I don't, unfortunately. He's just too inconsistent. And I know he's had a good year, but Gilmore is, like, as much as I think the Patriots defense is overrated, Gilmore is arguably the best cornerback in the NFL.
Yeah, it's arguable, and I've had that argument here on the show a couple times with some of our other Sleeper Wire guys, but he has played like a number one corner. I think he'll likely shut down John Brown. I do think that makes Cole Beasley an interesting play this week. He is the underneath PPR guy, so I think Beasley could be a good start. That's a guy I would play if I had to pick a Buffalo wide receiver. Luckily, you don't have to. But let's talk about the Steelers who are going to play the Jets. Now, James Washington, 5 receptions, 83 yards. Deontay Johnson, 5 receptions for 62 yards. Which of those two would you play this week against the Jets?
I'd start either of them. I put a waiver flyer on both, and whoever you get, be happy with. They're both good. Washington has emerged the clear number one receiver. Duck trusts him unequivocally, but Deontay Johnson, they want him to be the next guy, and he's getting it done. Kick returns look good. They're using him in the run game. They're working him into that offense. So I'd be happy with either of them as a flex. Those are the guys I would start over Gallup too.
Yeah, it's not a bad play, especially against the Jets. James Conner, as far as it goes, not a bad return. I think I'd start him. It's likely you don't have much better options if you've held on to James Conner. So he's a good guy to play against the Jets as well. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, James Conner, he runs hard. He's always a solid start when he's in there.
All right, so that ends our game recaps. Obviously, we can't do the Monday night game, but just so everybody knows right now, it's the Saints 20 and Indianapolis Colts 0. Before we go, the one main thing I wanted to mention, there are Saturday games this week. Pay attention, there's 3 Saturday games. At 1 o'clock, Texans-Buccaneers. 4:30 game is Bills-Patriots, and then the Saturday night game is Rams at the 49ers. For your lineup sake, make sure that you have it set before those Saturday games start. And with that said, Max, we're going to end this show. Want to invite you to listen to our live Tuesday night waiver wire show, our live Wednesday night mail sack, our Thursday game preview, our Sunday morning blitz where we get you started and set you up with all your start sit. I've been Jason. This is Max. Good luck in your championship.
Peace.